We thank you that you have touched our lives. We thank you, Father, that you have changed our families. We thank you, Father, that you are the Lord of the church. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word that you give unto us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, that is able and willing, wants to dwell within us. We thank you, Father, for every person, every child, every adult, every individual who's here this morning. God, that you desire to touch them, bless them, strengthen them, encourage their hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you just turn over, give somebody a good big smile and say it's good to be in God's house this morning. Hallelujah. You know, you could be playing out in the rain this morning, but you're here in the church. And some said, I'd rather go play in some of that rain. We haven't had it in quite a while. As a matter of fact, I heard on the news that the state of Illinois is in a drought right now. So we need to pray for rain. Amen. And all the farmers in the church said, double amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's so good to be in God's house. And I want to share a message this morning that says, it's my turn. It's my turn. Or, it's in my turning. And I'm going to ask somebody to help me do something this morning just to kind of give us a good start at this. If there is an individual in this sanctuary this morning, I'm talking to the children now this morning. If you ever had a desire to be a NASCAR driver, I'm talking to some of the boys, maybe even some of the girls this morning. I need a volunteer to help me this morning. Because the message this morning is, it's in my turning. And I want to see if somebody can go through real quick training on what it would be like to be a NASCAR driver. Can I get anybody to help me this morning? Any of the kids in the Sunday school classes, don't leave Pastor up here by himself. Somebody come bail me out. I know, am I the only one growing up that ever thought about driving a race car as a boy? I don't know. Maybe I might have to get some of the men. Or somebody, I know there's some boys. Somebody, come on now. Billy, come on. I just need somebody. If you're somebody else that wants to, we can do this training. More than one person can do the training. That's all right. So, now, you're not looking for an excuse to drive fast when you grow up, are you? NASCAR drivers go pretty fast. Okay, he's going to help me. We're going to show you something about what NASCAR drivers have to do. First thing you have to do is I want you to get behind the wheel. I want you to get in your sitting position. Do you drive standing up? Well, you don't drive yet, do you? No, you can't use the bench. No, you gotta pretend all the way. There you go. Yeah, now okay, now, do you know what direction the racetracks always make the drivers turn? Which way is that?
Around.
Around. Right or left?
I don't know.
Right turns. NASCAR drivers are always making right turns. So here's the training. They go left. All right. They always go to the left. I thought they made right turns around the track. Okay, well, you're going to go the other way then. Get on my left side. See, now I got the whole congregation correcting the pastor, preaching. You're doing a good job, by the way. Doing a good job. Keep it up. Okay, now, are you still in that same sitting position? Get down there. Where can you see out over the windshield? Okay, now what you have to do as a NASCAR driver, it's all in your turning. That's the whole point this morning. Now, when I say turn, I want you to give your best turn, and you got to hold that position. Okay? Are you watching me or the racetrack? Okay. All right. Here we go. You ready? Now you know what you do. You got to be in the sitting position. You got to be behind the wheel. And you're getting ready to do the most important thing that they got to do around this track. They got to be in the turning. Here you go. Ready? You guys help me. Tell them to turn on the count of three. When we get to three, we're going to say, now do the turning or something like that. When you hear that, you turn. One, two, three. Turn. Now hold it. Hold it right there. Now, if you're really going to be a NASCAR driver, you're going to have to hold that position for about 2.5 hours. So do you think you can stay just like that for the whole service? How many think he could do that? Well, I'm not going to make you do that, but you just had a very fast, quick lesson on what a NASCAR driver has to go through. That's it. So you go home and practice, and you stand there, and when your mom asks you what you're doing, tell her you're practicing to be a NASCAR driver. And when she wants you to stand still and be in the same spot for a long time, she's going to say NASCAR, and you're going to know what to do. Okay? All right, give Billy a hand. He's a good NASCAR driver. It's in my turning. The message this morning. I want to share some verses of Scripture with you this morning before we get into the text of the message. The first one is James 1:17. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now we're talking about it's in my turning. Now we're using the example this morning of getting an image in our mind that a NASCAR driver is somebody that understands turning. They have to, or they'll never get around the track. But there's something in ourselves as Christians that we have to understand. There is something that we have to learn about turning. It's in the way that we turn that points the direction of our lives and which way we're going to go. Now, the one thing that you need to understand this morning about Jesus is that there's no turning in him. He doesn't have to correct his steering. He doesn't have to turn a U-turn. He doesn't have to venture back when he gets off the course, because he never is off course. But see, there's something that you need to understand about Jesus this morning. There's no variables in him at all. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. When he forgave one, he forgave all. When he blesses one, he blesses all. When he says in his word that this is my promise unto you, then it's a promise for you and you and you and you and me this morning. So I want you to understand this morning that we have something about our turning, but there's something you need to know about Jesus. He's never going to say, today's too hard of a day. I'm going to turn my back on the world. He's never going to say that this situation is too tough and I'm going to have to turn to somebody else for help. Jesus is not turning this morning. There's no variableness in his turning. There's no shadow in him. He's pure light. Psalms 80. I'm going to reference three verses in Psalms 80. You may want to jot it down this morning. Psalms 80, verses 3, 17, and 19. They share a very similar message in Psalms 80. It says, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. See, it's different than when you and I get behind a car. It's different when you and I are walking on a sidewalk and having to make the decision, do I want to turn to the left? Do I want to turn to the right? There's a message for today. There's a message for the church. There's a message for the young people. There's a message for pastors this morning in Psalms 80 that says, Lord, oh God, turn us. Turn us back towards your word. Turn us back towards your ways. Turn us back into the things of God that we may be restored. Many of us come to church and many of us go to Bible studies and many of us are praying to God saying, God, I need some restoration. God, I need some things in my life to be brought back. The enemy's stolen many great things out of my life. And you do have a right as God's children to get back what the devil stole. But there's something that changes in you and me before we ever get to the place where things begin to come back, and the word restoration has to do with returning things back to us. Psalms 80 says it three times in a short passage of Scripture, O Lord, turn us back. See, there's some things that we can't do. There's some things that just wanting to ain't going to get it done. There's some times that when you just have the desire, it's not going to happen. But when you get serious before God, when you realize that every way that you're going is a way that's causing you to keep turning this way and keep turning that way, and you're never getting to where you want to go. My wife and I took a trip not long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, to North Carolina the first time we've ever been on a trip like that. And we got into Cincinnati, Ohio on our way there. And I got off the interstate and I was looking for some alternative routes other than the interstate at the time. And I kept losing the route number that I was trying to follow the Ohio River by because I was going into every little town. And as on my way, I just kept looking for the sign and it didn't seem to be visible and clear enough for me to follow that direction. See, when you and I start out in life with Jesus in our hearts, when we come to Calvary and get him into our spirit, everything begins to change in our lives. But before long, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves like Psalms 80 needing to pray this: oh God, turn me back. I was there years ago. I was there as a teenager. I was there under mom and dad's rules when I had to go to church. I was there when the revival came to town. But now, God, I've went on through life a ways and I'm beginning to find myself losing sight of the sign. I'm beginning to find myself losing my direction, and I keep looking for that course, but I'm not finding it. And you're just weaving out and you're turning every which way. It's about our turning this morning. You got to know where to turn. You got to know where to turn. Another thing that we did while we were on vacation is we drove across the top of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and let me tell you, you better know which way to turn when you're riding there. Wrong turns end your life very suddenly. But we've got to get back to something this morning. It's in my turning. You need to tell yourself, it's in my turning. Why is the car going that way? Well, it's in your turning. Why am I lost in this direction? It's because of your turning. Why are you wandering away from God? Because it's in your turning. Why are you not where God wants you to be? Because it's in your turning. You've turned this way and you've turned that way. And you have to own up this morning and say, God, but it's in my turning. My direction is off course. My situation has taken me out of the plans of God. My way has become the best way for me at the moment, but it's not winning me any victories. So you have to say to yourself this morning, it's in my turning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 4. Speaking about the times that are upon us, I believe today. And it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Now, did they begin listening to all the fables right away? No. The scripture says you get into fables, man's ways, philosophies of other minds, religious doctrines, all kinds of wild and weird and ungodly thoughts. But it says in that verse, it says how it happens. The first turning that takes place is you turn your ear away from the hearing of God's word. When we turn ourselves off and say, God, not today. Lord, it's just perfect weather to get the fishing boat out. Not today, God. I don't want to hear the message this morning. God, it's the perfect season for me to just be out of church and skip across the country and do all kinds of things. Now, if you travel, I'm not against that this morning. I understand that. You can have your time with the Lord. But I'm saying when we make every excuse and say, God, not this morning. I'm not going to be able to listen to my Sunday school teacher this morning. When we bring in the ear buds that go in our ears and some of these cell phones and things that's in the technology realm today, people can have things tuned in that they could be right in the midst of the sanctuary, right in the midst of their class, and they can be listening to something other than the Word of God. How do you end up listening to a fable? Some of the fables sound pretty good on the surface. Some of them sound like they're pretty smart people. That sounds like they know what they're talking about. But I remember in the Word of God that says man's ways are not God's ways. Man's thoughts are not God's thoughts. His ways are greater than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours. Amen? I want to give a prayer to the church. Comes out of the book of Lamentations. Chapter 5. Lamentations chapter 5, verse number 21. If you're ready to see God turn us back to Him, if you're ready to see the family turn back towards salvation, if you're ready to see the Word of God turn back on in the church, if you're ready to see these things happen, you ought to make note of Lamentations 5, verse number 21, because it is the prayer, "Turn thou us unto thee, turn us unto you, Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." You remember the good old days? It's an expression that many people like to sit around and reminisce about. You remember the good old days when the house of God was full, when the choir was shouting, when the saints were rejoicing, when the sinners were under conviction, when the schoolhouse was disciplining children, when the family was minding their business in their own house instead of everybody else's house. Remember the good old days when the watermelon was served after the church and the picnic was a great thing to go to. Remember when they didn't used to play ball games on Wednesday nights because the churches were having Bible study on Wednesday night. Remember when the schools used to make sure that their activities didn't interfere with the things of the house of God. Those were the good old days. I'm here to tell you that we're living in a different day because we've turned from the things of God. And now you can play a ball game on Sunday. Now you can play a ball game on Wednesday. Now you can find all these other things in the world that everybody's got so many things they're turning to. And we need to get back to a prayer out of Lamentations chapter 5 this morning. Turn thou us. See, it is us that has to pray this prayer. It is us that has to come before the Lord and say, "God, we need you to turn us. Reset the compass in my spirit. Pull me back, Father." Have you ever seen some of the old westerns where they had the horses in the carriage, and something spooked the horse, and they took off, and the reins were flapping, and somebody had to get onto that and ride beside it and jump on the coach and pull back on the reins and say, "Whoa! We got to turn this thing around," because many times in the little movies on the westerns, they're about to go over a cliff. They're about to break apart. There might be some child in the back of it or something, and there's a reason why they got to catch it. And this is what God is saying this morning in Lamentations chapter 5. The prophet was beginning to weep and pray and seek and say, "God, we got to be turned back to you. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need to turn." It's in our turning. This morning, I thought it was in the singing. Worship is good. Worship is wonderful. Worship is a testimony. I thought it was in the preaching. Preaching is good. The Bible says, "Preach, be instant, in season and out. Preach the Word of God." But it's more than that, it's about my turning. It's about my decision to pray and say, "God, turn me back to you." Take your Bibles this morning. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. This will be our main text this morning. Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 32. And when we get to this place together, I'd like to ask the church to stand out of reverence for God's word, and we'll read the text, Matthew 15, verse 29, down through verse 32. "And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and he sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to walk, to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." Lord Jesus, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you, Lord, that as we get into the text of the message this morning, It will allow us to make a decision to turn to the only source of life and be right at the feet of Jesus this morning and bring our needs and bring our cares and bring our worries and bring our anxieties and turn them in to the one who can save us, deliver us, and help us this morning. Father, I lift up your name this morning. I hold up your word this morning. Father, I pray that your anointing be loosened upon every heart. I pray, Lord God, that we would understand today that it's in my turning. It's in what I'm doing as to what I receive from the Heavenly Father. I give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Don't you love the backseat drivers? The drivers in the driver's seat, but the ones in the back seat know exactly where they ought to turn, how they ought to drive, the speed limit. All these things happen out of the back seat, trying to dictate and prove and turn, and sometimes they're helpful and sometimes they're not so helpful. But this morning, I want to see yourself right into the very front of your life. And I want you to see yourself needing to do something very important in your life. I know that you and I can't take hold of everything in our life and make it right, but we can begin to put our hands on the steering wheel of life and say, now, God, turn me in the direction you want me to go. Now, Lord Jesus, direct my path. And the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. It's okay to get on the freeway. It's okay to be on the interstate. It's okay to go through town. It's okay to be on the two-lane highways. But if we're on any course of life, if we're going in any direction, we need to take time and say, God, it's in my turning. I need to turn to you this morning. I need you to be my navigator. I need you to be the one to help me go forward. I need you to help me be the one to arrive to my destination and get where you want me to get with my family and get where you want me to be with my church and get where you want me to be with my children this morning. Notice what Jesus does. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus is an upper, not a downer? He went up the mountain. I'm going to tell you something. If you've been serving Jesus and you're getting pulled down in the gullies and the mullies and wallering all around, you don't got the same Jesus I do, because Jesus is an up Jesus. Jesus is a mountaintop Jesus. He said he'd be there in the valley, but he never wants you to stay in the valley. He's there to help you walk through the shadows of death, but he's leading you beside the still waters. He's helping you to get on to the green pastures. In other words, Jesus is helping us up this morning. Don't believe the fables that are in the world today saying Jesus is a downer. You serve Jesus, you can't do this. You serve Jesus, you can't do that. Well, turn it around and say, I am asking Jesus to turn my life around, and I'm going to listen to what he says I can do. Hallelujah. Tell yourself this morning, Jesus is an upper, not a downer. He went up to the mountain. He was up on a cross. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. If he died up, if he died overlooking the crowd, if he died that way, he lives more lifted up, because it was the Heavenly Father who on the third day said that he rose him up out of the grave and seated him at the right hand of the Father. Everything about Jesus is up. And one day you and I, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up to be with Jesus. And where are we going? We're going up. When you begin to get Jesus in your life, if the enemy is telling you that things are going the wrong way and it's all because you serve Jesus, that's a lie. But if you know that Jesus lives on the inside of you, begin to remind your spirit that I'm on my way up, because Jesus is turning my life around. He also sat down when he got to the top. Wherever he was on the mountain, the Bible says he sat down. How many know that Jesus is the only one that can give you real rest? Jesus is the only one that can knock worry right out of your life. Jesus is the only one who can stop anxiety from winning in your life. He sat down. Life has you up running all the time. Life has you moving about, doing this and doing that, but Jesus took time to sit. Jesus, the one responsible for the sins of the world, knew what it was to get up on a mountain and sit down. You know why? Because he had a great relationship with his Father. And he was just spending time looking at the mass of the mountaintops, the valleys, the rivers, the seas, and the stars. He had a great relationship. It's in my turning. When you feel like you can't sit down, when you're too tired and you still feel like you can't rest, when you're moving and you're going so fast and you just can't seem to stop, get with Jesus because he'll turn you back to rest. He went up the mountain and he sat down and he rested there. The Bible goes on and says that there was a great multitude that came to him. Do you know that there's a weakness in the world today that they want Jesus to be brought to them on a silver platter? The world is refusing to come into the house of God, but I'm telling you, when the church begins to pray and righteousness begins to flourish and conviction begins to flow back into the streets, there'll be sinners that have to run back to the aisles and the altars of the Lord Jesus and come to him because he's the only way. He's the only help. All the medicines out there aren't seeming to do the trick. All of the ones that you counsel with don't seem to have all the answers. There might be something helping you, but the greatest help and the greatest physician is Jesus. When you turn back to his word, when you turn back to him, when you sit down and be brought to the feet of Jesus, life can change again. Oh, well, Pastor, great multitudes came to him then. Let me tell you something that he said. Well, I was looking into that passage of scripture. If he can sort out and minister to that multitude, he knows where you are. If you think this morning that your problem is the only one like it, then you're mistaken, because Jesus had a multitude of people that had problems just like you and I this morning. They had big problems. They had severe problems. And the Bible says many more. So you can fill in the blanks of every other kind of problem that was brought to Jesus. But what I like about Jesus is when he saw the oversized population coming, a great multitude, the Bible says, and we know because down in the scriptures a little bit later, it talks about feeding the 4,000 and 5,000. So we know about how many were there, not counting the women and children. It was a great onslaught coming to Jesus. Did he panic? Did he worry? Did he wonder if he could handle it all? No, the thing about Jesus is he's able and more than able. My God can do anything. My God is able. Yes, he's able. He can do whatever you need in your life this morning. Your problem can be turned loose over to the Master this morning, and your direction of life can turn back to Calvary. Don't worry when the house of God has people in it and everybody seems to be getting prayed for. Oh, but if I need to be prayed for, come on anyway, because Jesus always has room for one more at the foot of the cross. He always has room for you. But when we delay, when we sit back, what we're saying to God is, I've got my hand on my life, I've got my hand on the steering wheel, and I'm not about to change the course of my life. But Jesus, if you'd begin to pray to him and say, God, but turn me back, he'll loosen up the muscles in your hands. And you'll begin to see that steering wheel begin to turn the course and find your way back to the place where God wants you to be. What kind of people came that day? The lame, they couldn't walk. The mute, they couldn't talk. The blind, they couldn't see. The maimed, deformities of limbs, and the Bible says many others. But let me tell you what you do when you see a problem that size. You bring it to the foot of the cross of Jesus, because the Bible says they brought him and they laid him at the feet of Jesus. That's it. When God, I'm in college now. I've never been here before. I've never sat under the professor's teachings. I've never been this far away from home. What do I do? Get at the feet of Jesus. God, I'm about to have my first child. I've never been a mother. I've never been a father. What do I need to do? Get at the feet of Jesus. God, I've never been a stepfather. I've never been a stepmother. I don't know how to handle stepchildren. I don't know what to do. Get to the feet of Jesus. God, the doctors told me I've got this disease. The doctors have said this about me. Lord, I don't know. I don't know anybody in my family that's ever had this before. I don't understand what this thing is. Just get to the feet of Jesus. See, what's happening today is we're turning every other direction. And we're getting farther from turning to Christ. And it's never changed. The multitudes in his day had to come to him. The multitudes that were there that day were lame. They were blind. They were mute. They were sick. But here's the message. It's in my turning, but here it is. Jesus healed them. Do you know what would happen if that message got loose on the world again? Jesus healed them. They're saying outside the church, Jesus is just another teacher. Jesus was not born of a virgin. Jesus is not the Son of the living God. Jesus this, and they're using his name in vain. But if the message of the church got loose again, but he healed them. Do you know people outside these walls want to be healed? But he healed them. How can we see the healing hand of Jesus move again? Turn. It starts with your turning. It starts with my turning. What do we have to do? Lamentations 5, verse 21. Oh God, turn me back that we might be restored. We got to get back into the prayer circles. We got to get back into the altars of praying. We got to get back into the daily reading of our Bible and say, God, turn me back. Remember the good old days. Turn me back. Here's what happened. After he healed them, that same multitude, I don't believe everybody in the multitude brought people thinking that Jesus could do it. I believe some of them brought him a test, trying to prove who he wasn't. There's always somebody that wants to prove the gospel wrong, but Jesus on this day, he healed them all. And the Bible says that he healed them in such a great manner that the rest of the multitude wondered about this. I mean, it lit their face up because these lives were forever changed. All of a sudden, the deaf could hear. All of a sudden, the blind could see. All of a sudden, when the Bible says dumb, it's referring to mute, people who can't speak. All of a sudden, tongues were loose. They could share, communicate, and talk. All of a sudden, the maimed that had limbs contorted every which direction, mangled, arms began to straighten, legs began to grow, fingers began to bend. And it changed their lives. There's something that's happening today . People are not having their lives changed anymore by Jesus. But when we open it up again and say it to ourselves, it's about my turning. My turning. Then the multitudes can come back. And God will heal. The message will get loose in the world again. The critics will marvel. The reporters won't know what to say. Because now they've got the witness. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was a mean person, but now God's Holy Spirit has made me gentle. I once was someone who cussed, but now God has cleaned up my speech. I once was somebody that hated, but now because of God, I'm somebody who can love. I once was lonely, but now because of Jesus, I have friendships. I once was an abuser, but now I'm a helper. I once was all these things, but see, something happens. A turning. I want to close with this passage this morning. Paul was probably one of the greatest examples in Scripture, who in his earlier life was known as Saul. Acts 26. Verse number 18, Paul is describing the call that God had on his life. And this is what he said in verse number 18 in the words of Jesus. Acts 26, verse 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The simplest definition of repentance means turn. It's not just coming and saying, God, I'm sorry. But what you're really saying at the place of repentance is, God, turn my life so that I'll be changed. How can we witness today? You can go ahead and put some altar music on. The greatest witness of the church is when you walk into old friends and they say, you've changed. When moms and dads look at their children and where they once used to be troublemakers, they came to Jesus and they prayed a very simple prayer that said, God, turn me. No one in this life will ever be perfect. But the more you allow God to have your life, He turns it into the best. See, it'd be much more to our young people's advantage to turn to Jesus now than when they're old. They've got a lot of life to live. Many adults sitting here would say today, I wish I would have turned to Jesus sooner. I want you to bow your heads this morning. This prayer this morning is not about salvation. If you need salvation, let me tell you, right where you are, you can pray this. You can say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, because of your blood, I know I'm forgiven of my sins. Jesus, I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I receive you. I accept you as a son of the Most High God. Come into my heart. When you pray a prayer like that, salvation, you get born again. But I want us to do something this morning with every person. Please respect the Holy Spirit. Don't be responsible for somebody being distracted. Today, somebody needs to turn. Somebody's got to the end of the line. If they don't turn to Jesus, the wall is going to crash. Maybe you know somebody like that in your family. The job where you're at, the school where you go. This is the prayer I want us to pray this morning. I want us to ask the Lord Jesus, turn me back to you. I want you to make a confession in your heart that says, it's in my turning, my willingness to turn back to Jesus. My willingness to turn back to Jesus. People today wonder, how's this world ever going to change? The world is never going to change. But the people that God put hearts in, every heart can be changed by being turned towards Jesus. Until the Lord set up his kingdom, there's always going to be a world system. There's always going to be a world way. I want to ask this question this morning. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to ask you to just slip up your hand at this question. Would you say in your heart this morning, I've driven off course in some places of my life, but this morning, I want to turn it back, my life back towards Jesus. I'm not saying that you're a sinner. I'm not saying that you're not saved. But what I'm saying this morning is, have we turned back towards Jesus in everything? We want restoration. We want things brought back to us. We want to get what the enemy has stolen. But God says it's going to happen when you first turn back. Then I can restore. So by the uplifted hand this morning, when I count to three, I just want you to lift up your hand and say, I want to be part of that prayer this morning. I want to make my life. I want to take my turning. I want to turn towards Jesus. Every life in the multitude that came to Jesus was changed. Their life was changed. By faith, I believe this morning when you make this commitment, your life is being changed. Your life is being changed. Remember, Jesus is up. He's an upper, not a downer. You're only going to go up with Christ, not down. Stay with him. I'm getting ready to count, and I want you, even the children, say, I want my life to be turned over to Jesus. I want you to lift up your hand. One. Two. My hand is going to go up, not just to try to get you to raise your hand, but I need my life to be turned towards Jesus. Three, I want you to lift up your hands this morning in agreement, saying, I want this. I want my life turned. I want to be where Jesus wants me to be. I want to be on course. Many hands all over the building this morning. Now, as a body together in our dismissal, would you just stand, and we're going to pray now. I will say this, if there's anybody here this morning that desires special prayer and you have a need and you want the church to pray, you can slip out and come to the altar and we'll pray for you. But I want to say this prayer with the congregation this morning. You pray in your own way unto the Lord. Just ask him, basically turn. Lamentations 5 verse 21 is our prayer this morning. O Lord God, turn us back towards you, that we might be restored. Father, I pray this morning that the message of your word would turn us back. We wouldn't be like Lot's wife, and at the warning of the word of God, at the place of warning, still choose to turn backwards to the world. But Lord, this morning, against all of the things of this life, help us turn towards you. Help us to lift you up more than any Help us to desire your word more than anything else. Desire your presence. Tell him you love him this morning. Talk to him. Has he healed you? He's given you a great, great, great opportunity to turn your life around. It starts now. Teenagers, your life can turn around right now. Your life can forever be changed. Turn. Is there someone here this morning that would say, Pastor, I desire special prayer? If that's you this morning, if you need God to touch your body, if you need God to do anything, remember, my God can do anything. I just want to pray with you in faith that God's going to do what you need. You can come. I'm sure there'll be others come and pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you that would help me pray, would you stand with me? Jesus, before you this morning, there needs to be a turning point. Things, Father, need to be changed. God, I'm asking you to do only what you can do. The heart is turning, Father, towards you. The love of the Lord God, He's helping you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Alma, he's blessing you right now. He's touching you. He brings his presence on you that you may know that you're not alone. He brings his presence on you that you may know that you're not left out. He does hear. Lord, bless her this morning. Turned around. A life that's turned around, Father. Things are changing. Things are changing. By faith, things are changing. Oh, la masika tomba yele la maso. Ye la la masika tomba yele la masita la la maso. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. His presence is just touching you. He's bathing his glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else this morning? I want to remind the ladies tonight at 5 o'clock, there's a ladies' meeting. Some of the men, if you get here early, let's just go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Service tonight. Be here if you can. Let's say this together as we dismiss this morning. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, lay my head to rest, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God bless you. You are dismissed. Those that would like to take part in the Feed and Be Fed, come and fill out one of the papers. And those that want a gift off of the Sunday school gift table, you can see my wife.